Praise God. Well, let's go to the Lord and pray. Father, we love you and we bless you. Holy Spirit, I am so grateful that you're here with us today. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would invade our thoughts and our hearts with God's wisdom and understanding of his word today, to help us to understand what God would say to each and every one of us today. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would bless me to be a blessing to God's people today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Now see, what we're going to be doing is, you're going to be able to find the notes on the YouVersion Bible app. You know, as you go into your life group this coming week, as you come in and join us on a Wednesday night, if you're one of those life groups, if you're one of those groups that we're going to be covering the Word of God, say, how does that apply to me? I will have my life group in here, but listen, I'm not going to preach it again. I'm going to let you preach to me. I'm going to hear what God's saying to your heart as we come together, men, and say, hey, what's God saying in our lives? So I just encourage you to grab those notes and take notes. And if God says something to you and gives you a revelation, a word of understanding, write it down, jot it down, because we need to hear it. Your brothers and sisters need to hear those things as we grow in the Word together. And so, you know, today I started last week sharing with you about how to live in a changing world. I want to continue down that thought process about how to live in a changing world. And I want to be talking with you today about God's will for your life and how to find and follow God's will for you. Find His will for your life and how to follow that. And you know, there's so many comments that are being made around us, and yeah, that the world is just changing around us. But I don't know about you, but my world, the world that I have lived in, has always been changing. From the time that I can remember, so many things in the world have changed. I came out from like the World War II and the Korean War era. The people, that generation before me, influenced my life so much. And then I remember the 60s. I remember the Vietnam War. That's the war that my life was involved in, and my family and so many people were impacted, my friends and the nation. 58,000 Americans lost their lives in that war, and countless so many others from different countries. And so, you know, my world has been changing all the time. And I realize you may be young in here, and it's maybe a new thing for you. You feel like, man, the world is changing so much. But you know what? So are we. I was changing all through those years. I was changing through all of those situations. And the question is, are we on the right course, you and I? With the world changing around us and God having a will and a purpose for my life, am I on the right course? And one of the things that I've discovered through all these decades of living on the earth is that God has always had a will and purpose for my life, but it's progressively revealed to me as I begin to step through it, taking one step at a time. And I just, His target for me, His finish line, never changed. I just had to see the course that I was to follow, that one day I'll be able to stand before the Lord. I pray and believe that, well done, my good and faithful servant. You fulfilled what I've called you to do. That's my hope. That's my desire, is to find and follow the will of God for my life and reach the finish line, reach the target that He has for me. And as an example for that, to try to help you understand, when I talk about saying it's progressively revealed to you as you take one step at a time, I don't know how many of you have been up, let's say, in the mountains. I mean, I have hunted in the mountains. I haven't done any of the dirt bike riding in the mountains, although I used to ride dirt bikes, but you know, as I rode those horses in the mountains, I realized, even hunting in the mountains, I know I'm going to get over the other side of that mountain, but I don't know what it looks like. I just know what this side of it looks like. But that's becoming real to me and revealed to me as I top that ridge, or I, you know, follow these different things. I know that there's an area I want to go. Have you ever been snow skiing? Anybody snow skiing? Well, y'all are missing out, those that haven't been snow skiing. I tell you what, Kathy and I didn't start snow skiing until we were in our 30s. Taking youth to ski, and I thought, there's no way I can do this, and found out I liked it better than water skiing, because you're not tied to a boat. But they have these lift things that you sit on that carry you to the top of the mountain or to these different places. And you want to get off at the right drop-off for your level of skill in skiing, right? I remember that first year, Kathy and I, we got on this lift, and there's these midway. I mean, we were green, man. We were worms. We didn't know much. We took the little class, but we just would barely get through it. So Kathy and I, she didn't want me riding on the same seats. You know, you can put two people, but I guess I move too much. Stan, you get on the next one. I'm on this one. Don't you get on here with me. So I'm following her. I'm going to follow my wife up, help her. And we missed the midway drop-off because you know how sometimes they get off and they just pile up and it's nothing but skis and legs and you know, people just pile up. So we came to this midway, and I know I'm telling this story. This is not in my notes. But anyway, there's a big pile of people right there, and Kathy thought, well, I'll just ride it on around and circle back around and you know. And as I said, Kathy, get off. And she didn't. I said, Kathy, you realize you have to get off on the next one. No, it's at the top of the mountain. We like to never made it down. It was unreal. But you know, you know, some of these pathways that we get on are progressively revealed as we take the next step toward the finish line. And you know, you may know where the finish line is. If any of you ever ran track and field, you know where the finish line is. And the funny thing about, I love track and field. I love going watching the things that happen on track day, you know, and the races and all that. And the 400-meter race, do you realize the 400-meter, when you're running, that's one lap around. Do you realize as soon as you take off, the finish line's behind you? But you can't be looking at the finish line. You got to be looking at the track and running the pathway to get to the finish line. And you can be as fast as anybody or faster than anybody on that field that day, but if you don't take the right path, you can lose the race. So see, I don't want to lose the race. I want to make sure I'm on the right pathway. And let me tell you, one of the things that never changes when it talks about, you know, things that I want to experience things in my world that don't change, that do not change. And I realize this is that you and I are supposed to be light in a world of darkness. That doesn't change. That hasn't changed through your isolation in your house, in your home, on your ranch, or whatever it is. We're supposed to be light in a world of darkness. And Frankie shared a great message, if you missed it Wednesday, go back and listen to it, about light and darkness and how our eyes need to be filled with light and filled with light so that our whole being is filled with light and not with darkness. You know, one thing that I understand too is that a lot of people today, they just want to shut their eyes to the will of God for their life. They want to shut their eyes. Oh, Lord, I don't know. I just want to shut my eyes. That's just too much for me. But one thing that I've learned, the shutting of the eyes tends toward darkness. Have you ever noticed that if you shut your eyes toward walking with God, how much darkness starts to seep into your life? How much you start sliding back maybe to the old person that you were? So, man, open your eyes wide, and you and I are supposed to be light in a world of darkness. We are born of the Spirit to be a witness. The Holy Spirit coming into our life empowers us to be a witness to the world. Now, some of you think, man, I don't know, that witnessing, that just is scary and that may be too much. All witnessing is telling others about your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Telling others about what you've discovered with the Lord, what He's done in your life, how He's touched your life. Isn't that all that the epistles are when you read about Paul? Isn't Paul just telling about his experience with the Lord? How the Lord has touched his life and how He pours wisdom into people that He has gained from the Lord? One of my favorite scriptures is over in Acts. And I want to encourage you, Acts 26, go read the whole chapter. One of the points that Paul made here, he's just telling people about his relationship with the Lord. He's telling people about the revelation that he's gained, the reality of God in his life. And one of the favorite things in this chapter was talking about the resurrection. Of course, he was a Pharisee. And then they had this other group, it's called Sadducees. And it was Sadducees because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Right? And so in that context, I was just reading and meditating and read and came across this scripture about the resurrection. And then I backed up to see, okay, what's the context of what he's talking about? I know there was a difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees, which dealt with the resurrection. But and when this one scripture, look with me, Will, Acts 26:8, why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? And I thought, wow, that is so cool. Why does it seem incredible to you to believe that God can raise the dead. And then he goes to expound on that statement, but when he goes to expound on that statement, he starts telling about his life. Oh, man, that revelation just went off inside of me that he said, why wouldn't you believe that God could raise the dead? Look what he did in my life. Look what he did with me. Why wouldn't you believe? Why, if you see what God, the reality of the true and living God, impacted who I am and I'm not the same man, why can't you believe the rest of it? Why can't you? Come on now. Some of you, that's going off in you because you've come in here and seen somebody sitting in church that, oh, God does raise the dead. God does. There is a true and living God. So-and-so was here this morning, right? Now, a lot of people have said that about you. Wow, you know, God is a God of power. Look who's here this morning. You know, with Paul, and he would just tell people about his life, who he was and what he was and how Jesus impacted his life. Now, if we look over in the Colossians, and the church at Colossians, Paul knew that the Colossian church was growing and being impacted, and yet he hadn't met them yet, but if you read in that letter, he's trying to help them and encourage them in their walk with the Lord. He knew what they were going to face. He knew what they needed to grow, and so he's trying to speak into them, their life. Now, don't you feel the same way, like when you see these graduates that come out of high school, maybe even college, and you say, I know what they're going to face. I know how, if they don't be cautious, life can tie them down. I know what it is to lose your dreams, and you try to speak into the lives of these young people. Am I right? Well, see, that's what Paul is trying to do with the church in Colossae, and he's speaking to them, and he's trying to help them to avoid some of the hardships that they were going to be confronted with. He's trying to bring some understanding in their psyche because sometimes you and I come from a background that we don't even know enough to ask questions. Am I right? And so Paul here now, he was a well-educated man. I mean, he was well-educated in not following the true and living God as well. And he understood certain things about how men and women can be maneuvered, how men and women can be manipulated. I mean, he was doing that with Christians. He was manipulating them in the courts to get them to speak something that would be considered blasphemy so we could send them to death. See what I'm saying? But when Jesus came into his life, he turned that to help us walk in wisdom. And if you look in Colossians in chapter 2, there's three things that he covers here, and I'm just going to touch on them for just a moment. That he understood. He's trying to reveal to people about evil persuasion. He's trying to help the church understand about legalism and deception. That all of those things are real and that people can be influenced in the wrong way. In Colossians 2:8, he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See, there are evil persuasions out there that is trying to persuade people to go the wrong direction. And in verse 16, he addresses a little bit of legalism there. He said, listen, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect to a holiday, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days, and rituals. We see all these things even today, where people are trying to bring condemnation on you, manipulate you, maneuver you, because you don't do the right thing. You don't do this. You don't honor this holiday. You don't honor this ritual, this tradition. And so you're not going to be right with God. He said, don't do that. Don't fall into that legalism. Are y'all with me? Maybe y'all haven't experienced some of that. I have over the years. And then he also talked about deception in verse 18. Let no man beguile or cheat you of your reward. In a voluntary humility, that's false humility. And worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. See, there's people out there that are deceiving others out of their own ignorance. Are y'all with me? And so Paul is trying to impart wisdom. You and I are trying to find the will of God, the purpose of God in our lives, and we need to be walking with wisdom and understanding of the true and living God. Now let's back up to verse 4, Colossians 2. And let's look at a few of these verses. Look at now verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. If anybody would know how to what he's talking about here, it'd be Paul. Are y'all with me? This means yes. This means no. This means I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, if anybody knew how to be persuasive, it was Paul. He was a highly educated. He was the best of the Pharisees. He said, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Look at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. See, these things have not changed. These things have not changed. Even though the world around you may seem like it's changing, God's principles haven't changed. Look at verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. Now, I want to back up, and I want to read verse 8 through a couple of verses from the Amplified, because I think it expounds on understanding that you and I can really get a hold of something, okay? Because it really speaks to me. Let's look at verse 8. It says, see to it that no one carries you off as spoil. You know what spoil is? That means you lost the war. You lost the battle, and you yourself have become spoil of this spiritual battle. Or makes you yourselves captive by a so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, following human tradition, man's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. Just crude notions following. Now listen, he's fixing to say, you're following this, but you're disregarding this. He said, following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. Verse 9 in the King James says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Listen to NIV. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and every authority. And in him you are complete. That's exciting. So see, your completeness comes through Jesus Christ, not through these empty philosophies and these vain deceits, these rationale of the world. The world has a rationale. They rationalize what they think it should be like, but see, that's not who you are. There's more to you than flesh and blood sitting here today. All right. What we need to understand is the big picture of our lives that is found only in God. Now, hear me now. Listen to me closely as we get through this section. There are elemental teachings of the universe. There are traditions of men. It didn't say that you couldn't understand them. It said you can't be conformed or captured by them of those who say that's all there is. Are you following me? Yeah. Didn't say they didn't exist. The world says that through philosophy and vain deceit that it has all the answers without God. We don't need God. We got it all figured out. See, that's where the deception creeps in. A lot of people now, listen, maybe in some Christian circles that you have walked in, a lot of people say that as Christians, we're not to listen to anything of the world. We're not to be connected to anything, any teachings, any understanding of the world. But listen, you do all the time because there are elemental truths that you and I follow all the time, like gravity. Like wearing, you know, these days are getting hot, and you're supposed to be wearing white or light clothing that's loose-fitting that you can sweat in and cool off. And then winter comes around, and what do? You bundle up. What do? You drink water so you can stay hydrated. There are elemental truths of the universe and life we live that we follow every day. Amen. And that's deception to say that we don't do that. But see, where we mess up was we don't get the full picture of who we are in Christ Jesus. You don't get the full picture of everything that you are. It says you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Again, verse 8, following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah. You see, you lose the fight and you become spoils of war when you disregard Christ Jesus in your life. You're a child of God. You're a son and daughter of God. There's more to you than what people see out in the world. Amen? Amen. Now, I've said all that to say this. When there's a fork in the road in our lives, you and I've come to these forks in the road where I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision to go right or go left. When you're at that fork, there's two directions in your life. Am I going to follow the will of the world or am I going to follow the will of God in my life? Maybe you're at that fork this morning. Maybe this message is specifically for you, that you've been saying, God, I need an answer. I need to know. I need to know, do I go this way? Do I go that way? Follow the will of God. If you want to find and follow fullness of what's on the inside of you, you cannot disregard the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has purpose for your life. He has a plan for your life. Let's go to 2 Peter. Let me see how I'm doing on my time here. Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah. Oh, I got another hour. How, y'all? Not really. 2 Peter. 2 Peter 1. I love Peter because he just shares such great wisdom with us. In 2 Peter 1, in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, back when the church age was young, we gave diligence to make our calling and election sure. Now, he's talking about today. He's saying, wherefore the rather, brethren, in the year 2020, in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of civil unrest, in the midst of all that's going around in your world right now, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. The Amplified says, stumble or fall. Man, I like that. That's a good word for me. He said, Lord, okay, I don't like stumbling around. I see that this is a process of growth for me as a child of God, because I don't want to stumble and I don't want to fall. And it also says that some will be ushered in abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some folks are going to get ushered in abundance. Well, I look at the other side of that. I guess some are just going to make it in by the skin of their teeth. But at least they make it in, right? Amen. I'm grateful for those that make it in by the skin of their teeth or the hair of their chinny chin chin, as long as they make it in. I'd like for them to make it in. Lord, hold off a little longer so people can come to the Lord. I got loved ones that I'm praying for. How about you? Amen. Praise God. And I want them to make it in, even if it's under the wire, just barely making it in. I want to see them in the kingdom. So he says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Whatever that is, the calling and the election, whatever that is in your life, the one thing that it is, it's a place in your life where you're not stumbling and you're not falling and you're not succumbing to sin all the time in your life. Are you getting this? That you can live a successful Christian life, a Christian walk, where you're not stumbling and you're not falling all the time. Don't you get tired of that? Boy, I get tired of messing up and goofing up and having to repent. And I know that, Lord, when my heart is sincere, He's forgiving me and He's walking with me. But man, I hate bloodying my nose all the time, tripping and falling over my own ignorance. Amen. But there's that place, a calling and election, where we can be, where we're not stumbling and falling and sinning. What is the calling and election? Let's go to 1 John 3. If you're taking notes, 1 John 3, verses 18 through 23. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now, if you say, well, if our heart condemns us, what is that talking about? If you'll look at, I love reading other translations because it helps me to get the spirit of the Scripture. If you have this feeling of guilt in your life, man, because you keep looking back you haven't received the forgiveness of what God brought to you, or maybe you hadn't forgiven yourself. Maybe you're here this morning and you've had things in your life that you know God's forgiven me, but have you forgiven yourself? Have you allowed Jesus to come in and heal your heart in that area? Because sometimes you have this condemning heart. You condemn yourself. You have these feelings of guilt. And he said, God's greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Wow, his word is stable and firm and trustworthy. I want to stop for just a moment. I want to address this. I don't know, maybe someone here this morning that you have really battled with self-condemnation. You've had a trouble letting go of something that happened in the past. I mean, Paul, of all people, can address that face on. Because remember, Paul was the great persecutor of the church. He was there when Stephen was murdered. He was there. He held their coats. He probably incited that group of people, that little mob, to murder Stephen. Stephen, a man of faith and power, who loved the Lord Jesus, who saw rights directly into heaven, who asked God, don't hold this to their account. What humility, what a heart for people and not for himself. And then it wasn't long after that Paul was going to Damascus to get more people, drag them out of there, and those of the way, and bring them unto destruction. And Jesus intervened. And Paul, through that time, and realized who Jesus was, I dare say probably had those moments of time, said, Lord Jesus, had I just turned 2 weeks before, Stephen would still be alive. If I just had ears to hear, if I just had eyes to see, Stephen and others would still be alive and serving you. Can you imagine how the condemnation and guilt that could have brought on him? So he's a man who's walked through this and said, the Lord have forgave him because I did it out of ignorance. And he was able to forgive himself and walk on in confidence that he could ask God for whatever he desired, and God would bless him with that. Are y'all with me today? So if that's you this morning, maybe it's somebody listening online, that you haven't been able to release that and let go of that. Sure, we've made mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Some seemingly worse than others, but we've made mistakes, and you've had problems to let go of it. You need to let go of it and let God heal your heart, right? And move on, because God has purpose for your life. Amen. Amen. That we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. So the question is, are you successful in your Christian walk? Do you feel that God is proud of you? I mean, has he got your picture in his wallet, kind of a mentality, yeah? The Lord loves me. He's proud of me. He stuck it on his refrigerator. He looks at me every day. But maybe if you haven't, maybe you're at that point where you say, well, you know, I don't know. We need to listen to the words of Peter. Because Peter was another guy that, speaking out of experience, had goofed up. But he tried to help people not fall in the same trap, right? Okay. Let's go over to 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter. Look at verse 12. Peter's saying this. He said, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or fit, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. So see, Peter is about to die and leave this earth. And he's trying to encourage these people to live successfully. He's trying to impart wisdom, the things that he learned, the mistakes that he made and made it through and lived through and gained from and grew in wisdom. And he was speaking to him. He said, listen, I'm not going to be negligent by not putting you in remembrance. I want to put you in remembrance of the things that will stir your heart. He said, even though you know them, and you're established in the present truth. I need to stir you up by putting you in remembrance of who you are. See, he was speaking at them, but his words speak to me today. Even after he's gone home to be with the Lord, his words are speaking into my life. How many of you, you know better. You know the Word. You've been established in the Word, but you find yourself not walking accordingly. You find yourself being a little bit downhearted, maybe even discouraged, down in the mouth, forgetting who you are, forgetting whose you are, forgetting who your enemy is and that he's been put under your feet. Come on. And Peter said, listen, I need to put you in remembrance. It's about time you get stirred up. Oh, y'all are awful quiet in this first service. Come on. Y'all awake now, aren't you? I know it's awful early to get up and come to church at 9 o'clock, but y'all been sleeping in for 2 months. Y'all had a sabbatical, man. You're not used to getting up so early. But sometimes we need to be stirred up. We ought to be the most excited people in the entire world about Jesus. Amen? Amen. He was wanting to put people on the right track before he left. So do you have full confidence that you're never going to fall, stumble, or backslide? Do you have that confidence? Well, see, he's saying you can know that. You can do that. You can be that. You can have that confidence that you're not going to fall, you're not going to stumble, not going to backslide. You can have that kind of confidence. And Peter told us how. Amen. He told us how. And see, that's some of the things I'm going to walk with you, some of this how. Have you ever been in services where people say, well, I know you got problems. Yeah, you got problems. All you need is faith in God. And you're thinking, well, if you tell me how to do that, I'd do that. I just don't know how to do that. Be honest this morning. Have you been in a service like that and you actually thought that? Okay. Part of you, and some of you are lying this morning. Come on now. Preacher said, you just need to do this. You need to walk this way. And you're saying, if you just show me how, I'd do that. I'd be a man of faith. I'd be a woman of faith. But see, if you get into God's Word, He shows you how. And see, Peter, he said, I'm going to stir you up. I'm going to put you in remembrance, and I'm going to show you step by step how to progress and grow in the Lord. And he laid that all out. And so we're going to be doing that in the coming weeks. I'm going to help you walk this out. So let's look at 2 Peter 1. I'm going to cover a few things, and then I'm going to close. But 2 Peter 1, and I really love this, and I love delving into the step-by-step of growing in the Lord. Whereby are given unto us, in verse 4, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See, God wants you to partake of His divine nature after you've given your life to the Lord. You have escaped corruption in the world by crying out to the name of Jesus, accepting the life that God has for you. And you need to be walking in this divine promises. And besides this, look at verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity, or the God kind of love. So he gives you like 8 steps of progression. Verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll implement these steps in your life, they will create a situation in you. They will make you that you'll not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all things have been given to you and provided for you through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be studying. Are you with me? So if you take these steps, you're going to grow. For if these things, verse 8, be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. How many people sitting in the church today have forgotten who they are? How do you know that, Pastor? How many times do we look around and see people who have lost their zeal? They've lost their passion. They've lost their desire for the Lord. I dare say they've forgotten who they are. They've forgotten who they are in Christ. So he says in verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith. That's where you come in. Add to your faith. You can't go say, Mama, would you go home and pick up my faith? I left it at home this morning when I left. How many of you had asked her, Mom, would you go get my lunchbox? I left it. I'm at school. This is where you rise or you fall. This is where you stumble or you progress. You do the adding. This is talking about you. The Amplified says this. It says, exercise your faith to develop virtue. Then it takes those steps. Then exercise virtue to develop knowledge. Exercise knowledge to develop temperance. And on it goes all the way up. So they're connected. And so as you exercise one, it develops the next one. What that's saying to me is you need to do something with what you have right now. You didn't need to take that first step. Exercise it. Develop it so that you can progress on with God. So you have all of these, I want to address just a couple of these thought patterns here. You have all of these different steps, you know, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and the God kind of love. And some of you look at that, I've seen it over the years, some of you look at that at like a calf at a new fence, like, oh my word, at a new, just wall-eyed, and I don't know if I can do this. This is overwhelming, Pastor. You want me to grow in all these things and all this understanding? It's like, you're saying there's giants in the land. There's a place of blessing for you, a land of milk and honey that God wants you to walk in where you neither stumble nor you fall. You're one of those Christians that are just vibrant and excited even in the midst of turmoil. And when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil because he's laid out a path of righteousness before you for his name's sake. And you say, man, there's just giants in the land. Y'all remember that, right? You've read scripture where he sent the spies in to spy out the land that God was giving them. A land of milk and honey, a land of promise. God has a place of promise for you. A place of successful Christian walk for you. And you're saying, well, there's giants in the land. You think, man, how am I going to get it across to people that they're only going to face one giant at a time? You don't have to fight them all. There's other folks with you. You know, I always look for opportunities for stories. So playing football in high school, my senior year, we were a new school. 6 years, it was the 6 years of in the making. That year was the 6 year the school even existed, class 4A. They didn't have 5A then where I was. That was in the old days. We didn't have leather helmets. We had real helmets. Y'all still awake? I'm just seeing. I'm just checking, y'all. Okay. But it seemed like we had the smallest team the whole state. Every time we came on the field, the team across the field was bigger and had more kids than we did. I mean, we had enough to make an offense and a defense. We're playing 4A, but everybody else was so much bigger. But I discovered something. Every time I would start that game, one of the 11 that marched on that field, they only brought 11 on the field. Come on. And I was defense. I love defense. I love it. Blood, sweating. Making them tears. I just realized there's one guy across from me. I know a lot of times they would double team me and triple team me and all that kind of stuff. But basically, I had other teammates that took care of their guys. I took care of mine. You got to realize, man, you don't have to take on all the giants. Just take on your giant, that one step at a time, that one giant at a time. That faith may seem like a big giant. Take on that giant. Defeat that giant. Grow in your faith and let that develop virtue. And then you start making right decisions. That may seem like a giant in your life, making proper decisions, choosing the right direction. But you can defeat that giant too. And then walk in knowledge and temperance, self-control. Are y'all with me? Just take it one step at a time. Don't be afraid. God has a plan for you. He wants to grow you up. He wants you to be that person that's not worried about stumbling or falling. He wants you the person that's going to say, I'm going to make it all the way through. I'm never going to back up, back down, or back away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I will serve him to the end of my days. I know I may make mistakes, but I'm on board. And I'm going to serve him to the end of my days. See, that's the place we need to be. Amen. Faith. Let me, a couple of scriptures and I'll close. Is that my second closing or third? Okay, here. Faith. 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5, overcometh the world by our faith. He that believeth has a faith that God exists and breaks through the barrier of death to life. We can have this confidence that anything we ask in his name, he'll give it to us. Write that down in your notes. Now, this one I'm going to read, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 1. Look at verse 1, chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. I beseech you to walk worthy. Man, that just speaks volumes. You're a child of the King. You're a child of the King. God shed His mercy out on your life. Make it worth something. Make it worth something, the life you live. He said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, as you're called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in y'all. These are all the steps that connect us. One faith, one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit, one calling. You and I are all linked together. We're all linked with these fundamental common denominators, and faith is the common denominator to us all. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me encourage you with this thought as I close it out. If you're here and you're a child of the King, you're a Christian, you say, I am born again, then you have faith. You had the faith to come into the kingdom. You develop that faith. You understand that faith. You walk in that faith. You comprehend that faith. You express that faith. You develop that faith. Then you move on to virtue. So you got something to work with. You and I are on the same plateau, the same basis. We all go from here and we grow together. Amen? So we're going to grow together in the coming weeks, learn how to live in this changing world and live successfully for the Lord Jesus Christ in this time of your life. Amen? Amen. Let's stand together. Let's stand together. Praise God. I hope you're getting something out of this. Where you and I are going, we need faith. We need faith, you and I. Amen? Amen. Wow. Man, I love sharing the word. It's been a long time, hadn't it? Seemed like it's been a year or two since we got together. Praise God. Praise God. Let me pray for you. Be encouraged in this time, this day and hour. The Lord's got a plan. He's got a purpose for all of us. I believe even the things that we see, the turmoil, some of it, are consequences of your prayer. Because haven't you been praying, God, heal our land. Heal our land. And sometimes things have to be exposed to be made right. I've been praying, Lord, drain the swamp. Some people don't understand the concept of that. When you got a swamp full of predators, if you drain the swamp, what do you see? The predators, because they have no place to hide. And I believe that these things are being revealed so that our land can be healed. So that people can see true evil. They can see deceit. They can see the challenges, because you can't fix it until you can see it. And I understand there are things that need to be fixed in our society. Some of the cause of the civil unrest, some of the things I've seen over the last week or so is just terrible. But you can't, two wrongs don't make a right. Okay, I don't want to go there any further. Y'all, we could get here another hour talking about this stuff, right? But who are you? You're a child of the King. You and I are to be a light in a world of darkness, shining bright for those who are looking for a way, looking for light, looking for an answer, looking for peace and joy into their lives. And you have the answer. His name is Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to close our service out with prayer. And if you're here this morning and you need someone to actually pray for you, pray with you about something, there'll be teams down here. If you're visiting with us, there'll be teams down here to pray with you, agree with you, according to the Word of God, see God work in your life. He's a God to be found. He's still a miracle-working God. Father, we love you and we bless you. Father, it is our sincere desire to walk in the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray for those this morning that may be challenged with self-condemnation, the guilt that's in their heart, not releasing the past, releasing, Father, I'm just so grateful that you forgive us. Your mercy, Father, is to receive what we don't deserve, and that's your mercy. where you forgive us and cleanse us, Father God. And you prepare us and you grow us up. And I pray if there's someone here this morning or someone listening online that have been so racked with guilt, Lord, that they walk in your forgiveness, experience your forgiveness. Holy Spirit, that you'll work in their life to experience the peace that only the Lord Jesus Christ can give. And that they will be able to forgive themselves and receive healing in their heart to walk forward, Lord, in full confidence, standing before you with a full assurance of faith and trust in you to see what you would do in their life. So, Father, bless us to be a blessing. Let our days be prosperous and productive in you, and whatever we lay our hand to prosper. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. If you need prayer, come down and let us pray for you. I love you guys.